You're listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMMLP, Burlington, Vermont. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro, and this is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. Write the Book features interviews that concern reading, writing, and publishing. Today on Write the Book, you'll hear an interview with Vermont artist and creative coach, Courtney Record. I learned about her coaching when I saw a listing in my local community front porch forum offering a free coaching session. I asked if I could interview her. Courtney Record has been a high school art teacher for 7 years, where she practices coaching on a daily basis. She recently began creativity coaching for adults and is interested in the problems that artists face in their creative process. Her own art focuses on jewelry. When I spoke with Courtney, I began by asking about her background.
I'm an art teacher. I teach high school art in Milton. And I'm an artist, obviously. Hopefully, if you're an art teacher, you're also a practicing artist. And my latest creative pursuits are mostly in metalworking, so jewelry, fine metals, and then I've just started exploring a little bit of knife making, so mostly in metals.
Oh, wow, knife making, like decorative knives?
I really want to make kitchen knives.
Oh, wow.
Because I love to cook as well.
Oh, cool. Okay, neat. So I wondered how you would define the word creative. When you're working as a creativity coach, how do you define the word creative, and who do you feel like your potential client might be?
Well, that's a really good question. I have students think about art all the time, the word art, and I have them try to define it, and it's always really interesting to hear the different definitions. And I think, you know, it's everything from something made with intention to something specific that might hang on a wall. And I think creative has a sort of similarly broad range. I think that, you know, typically we think of creative as a visual artist, a writer, and a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So the three categories. And for me, I feel most comfortable working so far with people that are visual artists, simply mm-hmm. because that's my area.
Right.
And so I'm more familiar with the types of struggles that those types of creative people have.
Okay. All right, great. What do you do as a creativity coach? What is your idea of how you help your clients?
My idea is to, even though people are creative, and a lot of people have this problem, they may not know what their goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really helping people identify their goals, and then also identifying the obstacles that are getting in the way of those goals,
mm-hmm.
and trying to help them move past those obstacles. And typically, a lot of the obstacles that we face are in our own minds.
Right.
So it's really identifying the negative self-talk that happens around creativity, because there's so much of that. I mean, Brené Brown has done a lot of research on shame and creativity, and there's statistics that are just astounding. Something like half of the population was shamed as a young adult or child around art. So
wow.
We carry a lot of that, I think, as adults around with us. And so, you know, thinking we're not good enough, or our work isn't good enough, or why should we be doing this? And so it's really identifying those thought patterns that get in the way of actions.
That's really interesting. I wonder what she's looking at as far as who has the power to shame us, if it's our friends, or if it's always sort of adults, teachers, parents, it's just anybody laughing at something that we did in art class in seventh grade.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know that, and some of the stories that she shared were mostly adults, you know,
right.
From art teachers to parents, and, you know, parents that may not understand what it is to be creative, and maybe they don't identify that within themselves, so
right.
They don't admire or respect that in their children.
Yeah, okay. So how did you decide to become a coach?
Well, I've been thinking about it for a very long time. I worked with a friend who is, when she was in training to become a life coach, and she coached me, And then she gave me some resources and suggestions, Brené Brown being one of them, and some other life coach podcasts that I started listening to very regularly, and I started doing more and more research. And I started thinking, do I want to become a life coach? And I was very much on the fence for a long time. And then I found out about creativity coaching, and I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. Like, it just seemed, it was immediate. There was no hesitation. I was like, that's what I want. I already do that as a teacher. So I felt like it was such a natural shift into working also with adults around, because everyone has similar issues. It's just the context that you're working within, and also, you know, working with a group versus working with an individual.
Okay.
All right. I think, like, that's, for me, is like the biggest difference between being an art teacher and being another type of teacher, is that you really have to work in that role of, if you're a math teacher, you're teaching very linear concepts and kids either get it or they don't. And right. with art, you're asking them to express something about themselves, something personal, or at least that's what I do in my classes. And so it takes so much more, I think, from the kids to really be willing to put themselves out there. And so you have to support them through that, asking them to do that.
Right, right. Do you, in working with your clients, do you get involved in their creative process? Do you look at their work and do you offer critique, or do you mostly just help them get it done?
I haven't yet. Well, no, that's not true. One of my clients did send me a picture of her work, and it was just simply to show me, you know, we had talked about her doing this one thing and she wanted to show me, to share it with me. And right. I was really happy that she did, but I don't really see that as my role as a critique. It's more of just helping them get started or continue or finish or whatever stage they're in the process.
Right. I wondered if you, if the answer is no, that's fine. I was just curious if you integrate any sort of meditation suggestions or mindfulness into your coaching for your clients.
Definitely. I mean, that's a huge part of my life. And I try to learn techniques for myself, and then I pass them on to my clients, because I feel like that is really helpful in those mental struggles that we have, mm-hmm. in terms of making the time to be creative, really claiming that time for ourselves, especially as, you know, busy people, busy mothers, feeling guilty that, you know, you're not doing something for someone else at that time, and sort of getting back in touch with yourself and your own needs. And I think mindfulness is such a huge part of that. And mm-hmm. and really looking at our thoughts and sort of deconstructing them, and also kindness to ourselves. That is a huge part too.
Yeah.
Because we totally are so critical of ourselves, more so than most other people, or many people are. You know, we're much more critical of ourselves than we are of our friends and our family. And so approaching ourselves with kindness is important.
Great, great. Let's see. What do you suggest when a client feels blocked? What other than mindfulness and what you were just talking about, do you have other exercises that you suggest to them? Or,
well, I think I would ask them what's getting in the way and what their ultimate goals are, and then we would talk about envisioning a bit of, you know, whatever their goal might be. So if they're blocked and they're working on a project, a body of work, a painting, a series of painting or something like that, I would ask them to envision in a year, if they were continuing with that, if they had gotten beyond that blocked state, how would they feel? And envisioning the work that they had created, and then really feeling that in their bodies and feeling the emotions that come up, and then asking them to revisit what was the turning point, you know, what helped them to get through that blocked time. And then we'd talk about, you know, anything that came up in that, and then hopefully something would come up for them. So I would like to have most of the ideas come from them. because I think we all really do have the ideas for what we need to do already there inside mm-hmm. of us, and it's just a matter of accessing those.
Okay, great. I saw, I first learned about your work by seeing that you had put something out on the Front Porch Forum in a certain town, a community that you and I both belong to. And I wondered if you found any clients when you did that. You put out a notification that you were going to be doing this work. I'm wondering if you heard from people.
Not in that way, but I did from other social media. So okay. I tried, I put it out there in all different social media, and I got some feedback in some and not in others, and I often use Front Porch Forum to communicate things, and it's such a great tool, so I figured that would be helpful, and I may try it again at some point, but not yet.
It certainly caught my attention. It was so different than the usual arguments over the jets. So
right, the F-35 discussion.
Right, absolutely. Is there any sort of pattern that you see in the client base that you have? Like, is there a certain typical, like, do they tend to be business people who are trying to be creative outside of their work? Or are they people who have given up perhaps a full-time job to try to work in a creative discipline?
I would say so far it's, I have attracted mostly females that are working mm-hmm. and also trying to be creative outside of work. So their job may or may not be creative, but they are trying to do things, you know, may or may not be mothers, and they're trying to fit in creativity around all of the other parts of their lives, which is a challenge. And so it really requires trying to prioritize the creativity and also setting those goals. And I think that is such an important aspect, because if you know what you're going towards, it's so much easier to get up earlier in the morning, or whatever it is that you need to do, those sacrifices that you might need to make in your schedule, if you have that end goal in mind. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just sort of getting up to do something ambiguous, you're going to be much more likely to snooze the alarm, or, you know, finish the dishes, or whatever it is that's the other parts of your life that's getting in the way.
Right.
Right.
What is your own creative discipline like? What's do you have a certain schedule routine that you put toward your creative work?
Yes, I'm very routine oriented. I work well with routines, and I get up at 5 and I work from, so I get up and brush my teeth and make a coffee, and then I sit down for an hour. So it's usually 5:22, actually. That's my time that I usually start creative work.
Wow, you are routine oriented.
I know, it just happens that way. But and then I go for an hour, and then I have just enough time to get out the door for work. Okay. So I've been, and it's so fantastic. I don't love getting up at that hour, but what I find is that even if I don't get anything else creative done during the day, that is finished, and I feel happier during the day because I know that I got to spend that time on something that's important to me, and I just feel lighter mm-hmm. and happier throughout the whole day. So that really works for me, rather than trying to come home and do it after work or at night when I'm really tired.
Now, you mentioned before having put your notice out on social media. Do you offer business, marketing, and social media advice to your clients, any of that?
Social media advice, like putting blog posts out and things like that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of artists, and you know, coming at it from the point of view of a writer, a lot of writers are getting the message that they should be using social media a lot to get the word out about their work. Particularly if you have work that's available in the marketplace. So I just wondered if you help people with that aspect of things.
I haven't yet, not at this point, but I do feel like, I mean, I do it myself. I do put out blog posts, and I do use Facebook, and I use a lot of other things, and I've tried different things, but I guess because it's not my interest as much, I don't think I'm as good at marketing myself, so I wouldn't feel competent yet in helping people in that way.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What are your own goals for this business?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, I have several goals. One of them is obviously to help people, because that would be the reason that I would want to do this. And eventually I would like to do creativity coaching, maybe enlarging it into life coaching if I find that I'd like to help people outside of creativity, and then just have that and my art be what supports me.
Mm. Okay.
And moving out of teaching.
Yeah. Do you have a website for your art or for your creativity coaching?
Yes, I do. It's CourtneyRecord.com.
Okay.
And that is, I haven't yet put up my creativity coaching. It's in draft form, and it's just about to be published. But mostly what I have up there is my art and classes. So I do classes also for teens and adults in jewelry making and painting.
Where do you teach?
I teach out of my house.
Oh, okay.
I have a large basement, and I have a metalworking studio in my basement.
Cool. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
If you can think of something, I'm wondering what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given for your creative work?
Well, ironically, I can think of something, but it actually doesn't relate to visual art. It has to do with singing, which I don't do very often, but I was talking to a person. It wasn't a teacher or anything like that at one time, and we were talking about singing, and I don't honestly remember how we got on the subject, and I had said that I was shy of singing, and he said, you know, your voice is like no one else's voice. If you don't use your voice, then no one will get to hear it. And I thought that that was so wonderful, and that really stuck with me, because I feel like it relates to everything. You know, whatever it is that you personally have to offer, it's unique to you.
Right.
So if you don't share it with the world, then that sort of gets lost. I love that.
That's great. Yeah, I like that a lot too. That's it's so true. And it's so perfect because it's for everybody. Everybody has their own unique voice or presentation or great. All right, Courtney Record, creative coach in South Burlington. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
That, again, was a conversation with Courtney Record. You can learn more about her work at her website, CourtneyRecord.com, and her last name is spelled R-E-C-K-O-R-D. This week we have two Write the Book prompts suggested by my guest, Courtney Record. The first of these prompts is a question that Courtney might ask one of her coaching clients. Consider, what is one thing you'd like to accomplish by this time next year? Next is a writing prompt. Courtney suggests writing about the most important place in your town. What is it? Is it a town building? Is it a place that sells or serves food? Is it a meeting place? Describe its significance. Good luck with this prompt, and good luck with your work, and please listen next week for another writing prompt. Write the Book and The Radiator are supported in part by The Farmhouse, Burlington's farm-to-table gastropub, serving award-winning burgers, innovative entrees, and a world-class craft beer menu. And by Advance Music, a full-line music shop offering instruments and gear, audio-video design and installation, and electronic and stringed instrument repair services. You're local, we're local. Advance. It's been all about the music for more than 30 years. Located at 75 Maple Street in Burlington and online at advancemusicvt.com. And by Main Street Landing, providing daily rental space for events, meetings, conferences, and parties. Visit mainstreetlanding.com for more information, or come down to the Burlington waterfront. And by the Vermont Developmental Disabilities Council, a board led by individuals and family members that focuses on bringing Vermonters with developmental disabilities into the heart of our communities. For more information about Vermont Developmental Disabilities Council and becoming a member, visit ddc.vermont.gov or call 888-317-2006. If you're interested in sharing this show with out-of-town friends, let them know. They can stream it live at theradiator.org every Monday from 2 to 3. Archived episodes of Write the Book are available on iTunes and at writethebook.podbean.com as free podcasts. You can visit Write the Book on Twitter and Write the Book Radio Show on Facebook for updates. You can also access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com. And my co-host Gary's website is garyleemiller.com. If you have a guest to suggest or comments about the show or news about book-related events, please send an email to writethebook@gmail.com. As always, do remember that The Radiator is here thanks to community support and involvement. More information about The Radiator is available online at bigheavyworld.com. This has been Write the Book. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and you're listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMM LP, Burlington, Vermont.